Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 265, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
It's Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, which, of course, means it's the last day of November, right?
There's that for
30
sure.
30 days past November? Is that correct?
I don't know. I don't know that like rhyme thing. I just kind of, I'm always like vibing out which days have 30 and 31. And then I think the one that always catches, I just vibe it. I'm like, I feel like this is one of those 30 months.
You're always doing that. You're always vibing out the month.
And also that's how I'm able to excuse my late payments on my bills. Cause like, I'm sorry, I was vibing out the month. I didn't know it was the first 2 days ago. That's on me. But it's also Stay Home Because You're Well Day. I don't know what that is. National Personal Space Day. National Moose Day, as in M-O-U-S-S-E. National Mississippi Day. National Mason Jar Day. Okay. Shout out the hipsters. Remember that? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We still have some leftover. Like, most of our glasses in our house are still Mason jars.
A Mason jar is just one of those things you feel bad throwing away, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all just leftover from, our canning period.
So. When the peaches are ripe.
Yeah, or just store. Like shit that we bought that came in a mason jar, which was a lot of stuff for a long time. And now, free cups.
Even though you can recycle them, I just feel like, well, that's a jar. That has use. But yeah. I have literally, there's a whole shelf in my kitchen, all, because I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, like if you order alcohol sometimes, it'd be like, and that comes in a mason jar.
Yeah.
And I have two of those from my very expensive pandemic drinking, and then I just went to the liquor.
You save your yogurt tubs. We save our yogurt tubs, as and they just become our Tupperware.
We had a lot of yogurt tubs. Well, we have one country crock margarine tub.
There you go.
As any good American will, you must have your country crock tub. But no, not too many yogurt tubs, no.
All right. Well, now that we've settled that, we also settled before we started recording that the plural of computer mouse is computer mice. Correct us if we're wrong. This is just, we've stopped Googling things and we just like put it out on the podcast and then people.
Well, after that Sinbad thing, the Sinbad Shazam thing, so many people were hitting us up on Twitter with like, it's actually this plus the
Kenan and Kel. Yeah.
The all that sketch when he was on all that. Right. Plus, at the Christy Yamaguchi man came through with like a whole, he DM'd me. I think he really wanted to make sure this was like on the low.
It's just interesting that the math works across. Well, we'll get into it in a moment. Let's get into it. First, I have to introduce myself. My name is, of course, Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Rise Up This Morning, needing some hydration. Three Mountain Dews sit on my desktop, singing sweet songs of calories pure and true. saying, "This is my mountain of doo." That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, Maine. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
This goes out to everybody who was coping during your Thanksgiving dinner. Dead, I am the one, racist as fuck, grandma, sniffing for your trees, eating up all the cheese. Dead, I am the sky, Christian Uncle Roy, while I slowly turn, he quotes Peter Cern, dig through the kitchens and pass through Fox Friends off to the garage for that coping blunt. Okay, shout out to everybody who had to hit a coping blunt during Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens.
Or
you
Christian Uncle Roy.
Exactly. Christian Uncle Roy. I shout out to overtly Christian Uncle Roy. Or shout out to the one thing that everyone does where all the, you know, the family members of a certain generation go take that walk to the store or park. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also, and then say, no, leave your jacket here, man. You won't put that shit on when we get back. So it just covers it up. Anyway, thank you to, I think that was Lockeroni on the Discord.
Shout out to Lockeroni. Shout out to my cousins who stopped inviting me on that after I got too high one time and just started spouting gibberish. Miles.
They're going to fucking know,
they're
man.
Like, what
they're
did you say? Know. Oh, man, he's freaking me out.
They're going like, to know, dude.
I just like started speaking backwards for a little bit. Like I grayed out and then I started speaking backwards words. And I was like, that didn't make sense, huh? And everyone was like, do we need to take him to the hospital? Anyways,
you
Miles,
get like that off cigarettes too, huh?
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by an activist, advocate, and survivor who hosts the new podcast, Survivors Heal, which tackles the constructs that keep the cycles of violence spinning in our culture. It's Oya L. Sherrells! What's up, Oya?
Hey.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you know.
Doing well. How's your Thanksgiving?
I was good. It was good. I did some home cooking.
Yeah.
And then I went and spent all my appetite with family.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice. I was in the Bay Area, which was really nice. It's the weather up there stays cool. I always like that about the Bay Area.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Are you familiar with the Sinbad Kazam Shazam whole business?
I don't know, it all is jumbled though when I think about it. I'm like, is it Kazam or was he Shazam or
right.
And then you gotta think, like, okay, are we just in parallel universes or something?
Yeah,
it's like the Mandela effect.
Yeah,
like, that's what we're trying to get to the bottom
it like this,
right?
Right, you know?
We talked about it on yesterday's episode, and a lot of listeners were like, actually, this has been solved. And they sent some sketches wherein Sinbad had his arms crossed, like I imagined on the VHS cover in my brain. They sent a still from a, like,
TNT promo.
Yeah, a promo on a TV, but like none of these things that I have ever seen before. So it, like, even though it's been solved in the sense that we know where the different, and then of course you have Kazam, so like we somehow pasted Sinbad's face over Shaq's face and then like photoshopped this new VHS cover, it's still so fascinating to me and like so mysterious to me the way that worked just for everyone. Yeah. Like whether you saw that shit or not, like somehow everybody else seeing that, like, put that into my brain in some way, and that's how it came to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't know how it got in my brain, but it is. I'm not suggesting it's from a parallel universe.
It's the most powerful one though, because I think we all feel like we can figure out how we got there, but we can't find the threads.
Yeah.
You know, like even Christy Yamaguchi, man, he's like, hey, this sketch from all that might be it, and then he's saying, but I can't find the unedited sketch. So like there's like these stills and you see these moments, but I mean, yeah, I don't know what it was. I think it's a combination of his clothing, because he wore genie pants anyway,
right,
from the early 90s and late 80s. So I think but part of me feels like there's a smoking gun image. I feel that, like, I feel like we're all conflating, but it's, I don't know, maybe it doesn't,
but the internet hasn't found it yet, and the internet's good at finding that shit.
Yeah,
so I don't know. It is the stated subject of this podcast, America's Shared Consciousness.
Right.
So we'll allow it. We will open the show talking about that, even though it has nothing to do with the news or pop culture of the day.
And it's an old ass Mandela effect.
It's an old ass. Everybody's covered it. And then everyone was like, yo, this has been solved. But it's still very interesting to me for the same reason that most of the stuff we talk about on this show is interesting. Why did all the NPR hosts end up talking like that? Go ahead, Oya.
Yeah, because I have not seen anybody claiming to have solved that one. So I'm just late to the game, I guess, because I'm like...
Well,
So are they saying that Shaq is the one who played Shazam? And
Shaq is Kazam in the real movie, but people also felt that there was a Sinbad film called Shazam.
There was there not?
There wasn't. That's the thing, is we're all wrestling with Oya, is that didn't happen, and we're just sifting through the ashes of that memory.
The man never played a genie in, like, anything, as far as we can tell. The closest we've got is that on a promo, he had, like, a turban, like you see in, like, stereotypical genie roles, and then he had... something like wardrobe similar and body posture similar to the way I guess everyone imagines it in a sketch on a Nickelodeon show. And that's all we got. He never played a genie, which is crazy.
Yeah, that does not seem to be congruent with my memory.
Yeah.
I think we're just rejecting. Yeah, it's like we're rejecting mainstream culture's explanation of this. And I feel like we need to be brave and endeavor and dig deeper to really find the origins of this. Because I'm like, I don't know, Jack, I might have to take a sabbatical and just go through, you know, Sinbad's entire IMDb and find every single instance this man has been in moving imagery and be like,
I'm thoroughly convinced it's just some weird alchemy about the way a group of minds works together in, like, our world with, like, media that we just, like, don't understand yet. But I'm just very interested in the phenomenon. So while Miles goes on his sabbatical for a couple years to try and solve this, I'm going to be fielding. Tell me about your weird cultural memories, Zeitgang, that, like, you absolutely know that you remember that actually didn't turn out to be true. Like, I'm interested in the one-offs too. So, all right. So that's the end of our show. We're going to do today's episode, but then we're off for the next year while we try and figure this shit out. But we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today in the final episode of the Daily Zeitgeist. We are talking about the Republican National Committee just trying to figure this dang thing out. What the hey happened to that red wave? So we're going to talk about where they're looking for answers and the answers they're likely to come up with. We might even talk about a couple taste tests that we came across in the media. I came across in the media. I don't want to lump you into this stupid shit, Miles. somebody talked about a ketchup taste test, saying you might want to revisit the standard Hunt's versus Heinz taste test. All of that, plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
The people are not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
I actually, in my search history, like at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I was actually looking up Erzuli Red Eyes, which is apparently a voodoo deity that is synchronized with like the Black Madonna. And she is like the patron saint of domestic violence victims, and she protects women and she protects children, lesbians in particular.
Interesting.
But she's like supposed to be like a very fierce spirit. And I was like looking that up though because it was like connected to a dream I had.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn, we're diving deep into the cultural consciousness here. This is
cool. Wait, tell me a little bit about these other like deities that exist outside of our mainstream cultures, like Judeo-Christian idea of, you know, patron saints and things like that.
I just know Jesus Blue Eyes. That's all I got over here. Tell me about this other idol you speak of.
Well, and it's funny because it's like a lot of it stems from one cultural religion, which is Ifa, that kind of followed the transatlantic slave trade, you know, through to all of the different stops. So the Caribbean, North America, South America, it went with us everywhere. And it just got called a bunch of different things like voodoo, voodoo, sometimes Ifa now, Santeria, Candomblé in Brazil. It got called a lot of different things, but also the folks, the African folks, they like hid their saviors, their saints in Christian idols a lot of the times. And so like Urzuli Red Eyes was like, synchronized, like, or when I'm saying synchronized, it's like she was like hidden in,
right,
with the like the Black Madonna in particular. So like that image of the Virgin Mary with child, but then, you know, she had her own history as well. But, you know, it's like a pantheon of different gods or deities or orishas, right? And actually, my name, Oya, is a representative of one of them, right? And and it's kind of interesting just because there's like there are many, but they all kind of like go back to, you know, this Yoruba Nigerian religion. Right. Yeah.
Because I also know about it through like drum rhythms too. Like there are drum rhythms that correspond with them, like Oshun or Ogun and things like that. But I've never really thought about the part of like using the accepted Christian forms as like vessels for it to be able to still kind of, you know, practice religion without, you know, people being like, wait, what's that? Okay. They're using our icons for the moment. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, like even I read like Urzuli Red Eyes was like synchronized with Santa Barbara as well at some point. And I don't know, I found it very interesting because it's like all of these ways that we had to like hide our culture under, right, you know, underneath, yeah, the oppression. In particular, this spirit is supposed to be like really like hard and dark and even like, to a certain extent, violent, vengeful, because she was like summoned during these like really dark, hard times, like during slavery. And particularly, she comes from a region of Haiti where there's like a story, like her origin story is that she was like betrayed. She was betrayed by her folks. Even though she was like fighting for her people, she was betrayed by them. Like they wanted to make sure like their secrets were kept. So they removed her tongue, you know, and supposedly, right?
Right, right.
I think that the things that make it so mysterious is that a lot of this is like oral tradition.
Yeah.
You know? But like, yeah, I don't know.
That's so interesting.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm getting all deep into.
No, it's fascinating. If people want to look it up, it's Urzuli, Red Eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people are like, yeah, I looked up how good is cabbage in your refrigerator. So I should appreciate this one. I'm like, well, hold on, go on.
Yeah,
what
now? This could be an entire episode and it would be a really good episode. That's super fascinating. And it also kind of ties back to the shared cultural thing. With regards to, like you were mentioning, it kind of staying with people across like different cultures, and like sometimes these figures even recur occur independently of one another, and you know, it's just something symbolically that we don't know if they were like influenced or how what the exact lineage is, right? But it crops up and there's just something powerful about the image or the icon that just makes it appear in people's brains, you know. Super interesting. All right, you've got a lot to live up to after that search history. What's something you think is overrated?
Oh man, I think online shopping is overrated. Yeah. Cyber Monday, honestly, it's just because I feel like it curbs impulse buying. Why would we want to curb that? That's like the stuff that the retail therapy dopamine is made of. Like, and you can get extra gifts for people that were actually intended for you, but then you realize you didn't need. Like, if you're actually in person, you can just like impulse buy. But when you're online, you're like, oh, I can second guess that. I can just put that in the cart and I can just leave that tab opened for 20 years.
I call that spiritual layaway. Because you're like, you know what? I like the idea of me buying this. So I'll go as far to put it in my cart. And shit, I might hit checkout, but don't ask me for those credit card details just yet. I'm not there yet. And I totally get what you mean, because I like when I look at stuff online, I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll be cool. And like to your point, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really need all this shit. Like, whereas in person, I remember when they used to have Fry's Electronics, this like electronics store, there used to be the line to the checkout stand was a gauntlet of impulse buy shit. They're like, try and get through this line without picking up a loose stick of gum or a DVD or some shit or a spindle of rewritable CDs. Because they got me every time. And I'm like, yeah, to your point, I'm like, there's a power of physical space shopping.
There is. And then not to mention, it's like the person at the checkout line, you know, they can actually convince you to buy even more shit you don't need.
Right.
But it's a good thing in this season, you know, because then you always have extra shit to like, you know, wrap up.
And it helps the economy, which is the thing that controls my mood, you know, whether the stock market's up or not. So that as long as I'm helping the economy, doing my part, going out into chain and box stores and just, you know, helping America.
Go to small businesses.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
But they're not on the stock market. And that's the only thing that I care about. I just make sure the line go up.
But, you walk in there. Hold on. Is this gift shop publicly traded? Wait, what? All right, never mind. I'm off this. Oh, can I tell you something? There's a moment in a different world where someone says, they say, I want somebody who loves Shazam. In a episode 5 or season 5, episode 13, the words Shazam are uttered. I'm just going to play this really quick because, look, I don't care what the censors say. We have to get to the bottom of this. She says she wants, I think somebody took her diary. Hold on, where is it?
Someone who loves Shazam. Look at yourself.
And then Jasmine Guy's going off. Anyway, just Shazam. Saying, found a moment where Shazam was evoked on a show where Sinbad was on, A Different World.
What? See? Shazam.
What the fuck?
That's Shazam. But the false memory is Sinbad was Shazam. When really, Shaquille O'Neal was Kazam, and that is the movie. That's what I'm just saying.
So what are they talking about in the show when they say, I want somebody who loves Shazam? Are they getting the name of Kazam wrong?
No, I think someone stole her diary and they were going through she was like, oh, I wish I could find a guy who likes this. And she was saying it was just like a throwaway line. But the words Shazam are, I'm saying, just very narrowly saying Shazam was said on A Different World. Mm. There's just crumbs everywhere.
See, Sinbad was definitely Shazam. And I think, maybe they scrubbed the movie because it was so bad, but yeah, I just remember watching.
Could you imagine how bad that movie would have to be that they've like kept this conspiracy up? Like it's even more comprehensive than like the JFK assassination conspiracy.
Yo,
it up so deeply, and like they have an entire wing at the Pentagon like full of CIA and NSA agents just scrubbing the internet every time somebody like mentions or like post some piece of definitive evidence of it. Like they're just on them. They just disappear that person.
Oh no. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I like though the idea better that Shazam was a film. It was just so bad. Nobody could watch it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm more invested in that. Thank you, Oya, because I needed that.
Yeah.
Now I'm a Shazam truther.
We're going to get contacted by some shadowy figure who's like, you don't want to see this movie.
You don't want I would stop digging if I were you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh, shit.
You don't want to see where this thread ends. It ends in the movie Shazam, which is really bad.
I know your internet was getting all choppy.
Yeah.
And was, Oya was the one who mentioned it. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
never
saying.
Mind. I mean, we love Kazam starring Shaq from 1995.
Yes, the only Azam movie until the DC one recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I know not of Sinbad.
Who is Sinbad? Oh, the sailor, of course.
Of course, of course.
Oh, yeah. What is something you think is underrated? We got too close to the truth, folks. We gotta move on.
They saw it here. Heard it here. Anyways, dream interpretation. I think dream interpretation is underrated. Yeah?
Yeah. I agree with you. I think dreaming, the fact that we dream in visual metaphors, it, like that we have movies happen inside our brains when we sleep at night, that like when you look at them are like really adept like metaphors for like thoughts we're having and like visual expressions, like artistically designed visual expressions of things that are happening in our lives. Like there's just some great artist, and like James Cameron just mentioned this. He was like, yeah, I don't need a streaming service. They can't beat the shit that I got going inside my brain every night. I got the top, I got the top streaming service. But yeah, like when you take time to look at your dreams, and like, that's what you need to actually like have a dream journal and look at them and take them seriously. But when you do that, you start to see that there's all this detail there that is like very meaningful, and like your brain is creating art for you to look at and understand. And I think sometimes we're like dismissive. We're like, yeah, what? Like your teeth fall out and you have a stress dream. But there's also just like so many fascinating things in there.
Yeah. I didn't even think, because I've typically only remembered like when you know, people always talk about your dream interpretation or whatever. I'm always thinking of like just very specific things that are like on that list. You're like, when your teeth come out, is this or this, that or that. And I'm like, the ones I always remember are like my punches be moving too slow.
Yes.
I'm like, man, I'm about to duff this person out. And I'm like, what the heck? It's not moving quick enough. Those are frustrating. But then to your point, I'm like, I never write down the ones. And I'm like, that was a trip. Yo, I was kicking it with this person like I haven't seen since third grade.
Yeah.
And like, what the fuck was that? Like, you know, where did that come from? And I don't, do you actually write down, do you dream journal, Jack? Because you were talking like you've.
I have in the past, and I don't currently, but it's something that I like do every once in a while. And the dreaming when I was doing it was like much more vivid. And I think it just like sticks more because you get in the habit. But how about you?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I did dream journal previously, but I did have to stop as well, because I do think that it kind of gets you a lot more into those kind of lucid dreams, and like your dreams just get way more intense for some mm-hmm. reason when you're paying that not much attention to it in your waking times. And but sometimes I just like write down like little pieces that I remember, like actually that's how I found Erzuli Red Eyes, because I just Googled an image that I saw in my dream, which was a woman with red eyes, and that's who came up.
Mm. Wow. So were you familiar with Erzuli Red Eyes before you like had that dream?
No, not really.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Powerful. The unconscious mind, more powerful than anything we know about yet. Seriously. Like anything science has created, I feel like.
Yeah, I almost started dream journaling because, man, this doesn't sound so stupid, but when Inception came out, yeah. People, they're like, yeah, man, you should think about lucid dreaming, because that's where that's where it's at. And I was like, oh, shit, right. And I was like, as I, you know, looked into that more, a lot of like one of the steps is to start dream journaling, because you want to put yourself in that cycle of bringing consciousness to your dreams, or at least being able to, like, immediately after you sleep, just writing it down, because that's how you're going to be able to lucid dream more. But I just forgot and I got lazy, and I was like, there's not an eye mask you could wear for that or something.
Yeah. I could say that I stopped dream journaling because it was too powerful, and the world wasn't ready for what I was discovering in there. But it was just laziness. It was just like I started being like, I'd rather.
Now I don't want to put us all at risk. But Jack and Oya, have y'all ever had a dream where you're at a movie theater and you look on screen and there's a genie coming out of the lamp?
Miles, stop.
And he's a light skinned brother named Sinbad. And the movie was called Shazam. Do you remember this?
I think we all had that dream.
A collective dream.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Or was it a dream? And that's why I challenge us all to say, was that a dream or was that real?
Yeah. You ever have the one where you can't run because like there's no gravity, like you can't get any purchase on the ground?
Oh, like no traction?
Yeah, no traction. And so you're running, but like your feet are just like floating.
Like in your pool.
Half inch off the, it's like the... That's my version of the slow punches. But
yeah, whenever I'm trying to, you know, do anything physical, I'm suddenly in water.
Yeah.
Like my motion feels like very restrained.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to dig deeper into that.
has nothing to do with the fact that I didn't get on the high school basketball team. Nothing. Just go on, Jack. I mean, why am I on trial right now?
Oh, yeah. What's some other stuff that you found through, like, dream interpretation? Like, Jung has a whole philosophy on this. He has the Big Red Book that has, like, focuses on all these different icons of, like, shared dreams, and Jung is very into the shared consciousness. But what jumps out to you when you think about, like, dream interpretation?
Well, you know what? I think that it's so funny because it's one of those things that, like, get put into, like the magic witchcraft kind of category, even though in Judeo-Christian texts they talk about, you know, different saints going to get their dreams interpreted, you know, or even the religious figures having the power to interpret dreams, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just think that, you know, if we were less afraid of it, you know, like some of the knowledge and just emotional maturity that we can probably access by examining what is, like, in our subconscious, unconscious mind, I think it would be pretty culture changing.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
No, I mean, like, half of the ideas, they're like, and then he had a dream of a ladder, and that's how he figured out that, like, he was going to move his family to a different town. And, like, yeah, they were very serious about their dreams in the Bible.
But even, like, inventors and stuff, right? Like, a lot of, like, inventors, like, and people who have discovered, like, new technologies and, you know, are, like, a lot of them that started with a dream. So, I don't know.
Right.
I just think.
Yeah, there's one, I think it's the Mobius strip, but I could be wrong, but there's one scientific discovery, or maybe it was the Ouroboros. It was, like, one scientist was, like, trying to figure out this thing for a long time, and it was, like, super important, and it took him, like, he was thinking about it for months, and then he had a dream of a snake eating its tail, and that's how the idea for, like, what the structure of the thing was. The people who know the story are probably screaming. So, Super Producer Justin is saying the double helix. The double helix, they actually thought of on LSD while experimenting with LSD. So, which is another, like, way of getting at that unconscious part of the mind.
Yeah.
But, like, the shape actually came to them while.
Well, right, because it seems like those realizations come because you're operating in a state of consciousness that isn't, like, bound to the physical world. So because of that, possibilities are infinite, you know? Yeah. And I think that's, man, okay, maybe I'll start dream journaling.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up?
And I think the first 30 minutes of every episode should be us just talking about our dreams from now on. I think people would be into that.
Yeah. Oh, man, you should have seen it, man. LeBron James was actually hitting some of these dreams I'm having.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll catch up on some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And there are actually a bunch of, just going back to the thing we were talking about, there's a bunch of examples of scientific discoveries that happened in dreams. Dmitry Medelev was trying to figure out a logical way to organize the chemical elements, and he had a dream, and the periodic table just like fell on a table in front of him. And that's how he came up with the periodic table.
Whoa.
August Kekule was working on worrying about how the atoms in benzene were arranged, and he fell asleep and began dreaming of atoms dancing. Gradually, the atoms arranged themselves into the shape of a snake. Then the snake turned around and bit its own tail, and that's how he figured out that it was like made up of rings of carbon atoms, which it's wild. It's like your brain has access to this creative power that we just like don't. You know, we just don't give it credit for, or we just like don't even watch, really pay that much attention to it.
Right. And I think it's chemically induced. I mean, I don't like there's some magic to that. Right. Just as much as there's magic to chemistry. Right. But I really do think it's like the natural LSD that's in our brains.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's influenced by like the. I don't even know. Maybe this is totally unscientific in 2022, but it's like there's like maybe, I don't know, gamma rays or some shit. I don't know. They used to call it the ether. Like, but there's like some universal energy that I feel like we are all kind of influenced by, and like chemically, though. And
yeah.
That's what we're tapping into.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the drugs that we do or like the altered states come from chemicals that are inside our mind, right? Like the pills or the things that we take give the brain permission or like directions to produce it. But like that is stuff that's already in there. And yeah, just to like the overall like cultural picture, I feel like, you know, we've gone down this path of science for so long that we now just assume everything has a rational, scientific, analytical, you know, reason-based explanation, and that has caused us culturally to, you know, shut off an entire very important part of like sort of the mystery side of like human experience and the, you know, human power. So yeah, I don't know, this is my favorite episode
Mysteries
of the podcast we've ever done.
I just, it's wild to think that like the drug war is literally holding us back from being like, yeah man, the secret was in psychedelics the whole time,
right? Yeah,
The whole time it was that, actually.
Right. Right. The secret to world peace.
Yeah, all of it. Because everybody right like let their egos dissolve. They saw the interconnectedness of our situation and realized, oh, we need to take up for each other. That's, wow.
Right there.
That's all it was. Right, huh?
You okay. Solved it. Oh my gosh, I knew right. Everything was going to be solved on TDZ. I knew it. Yeah. All right. I dreamt it, actually.
So do we even Thank need you. To talk about Republicans now? I feel like
Nah, let's talk
it.
About Shazam. Because we're making that movie. I don't give a fuck. Like I said, if we have to deep fake it, we're gonna deep fake it.
I think somebody already deep faked it. I think Funny or Die or like
College Humor did one. Yeah. But wasn't it with him in it though?
Yeah, it was.
No, we're going back. We're gonna make it look like it was made in 92. Like that's the level of authenticity we're gonna pursue. Or we will look in every, you know, municipal dump and try and excavate a loose VHS tape of the real Shazam. Yeah. Because I am now a Shazam truther.
All right. Thank you, Oya. So, I mean, people struggling to come up with a solution to something. Some people who might want to look in their dreams. The Republican National Committee is in a bit of a tough spot. They can't get their mind around this shit. They're just like, what? What happened?
They blew it all on. They said, the red wave is coming, y'all. Empty your pockets now. We got this. We're going to put the finishing touches on curb stomping democracy. Y'all just give us your money and we will deliver. Then they only like eked out the House by a couple seats. The Senate did not go. There was nothing like a wave. And all that anger now, they're trying to figure out what to do in the confusion, right? And all this disappointment has led to all kinds of chaos. But the biggest question that lingers is, how the heck did we lose? So, right. You know, I think it's the kind of rage that has even inspired, as of now, the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. He's saying, you know what? I should be running for the head of the RNC. I'm going to play that for you real quick because he's very confident about his ability to unseat Ronna McDaniel.
I am 100% running for the RNC chairman against Ronna McDaniel. 100%. I'm all in, Steve. And one of the things that one of the big donors said to me, he said, Mike, he said, everybody wants you to be head of the RNC. Some of them just don't know it yet.
Yeah, none of that is true.
I'm sure somebody said that to him. That's how
I'm sure
rich
I don't
white
know.
Guys talk
That's
to
how-
each other.
That's how all these grifters talk. They were like, yo, man, I was on a plane and this soldier came up to me. He had just been shot through his chest in Iraq, but he came up to me despite his injuries. He walked all the way to tell me, thank you for what I'm doing. And then he passed away in the aisle and became an angel and flew off. And I remember he did tell me this because it did happen. Like they always have stories like this about someone I won't name big up me. And that's why my ego is just going wild. So
Steve Jobs. Right before he died, call me and tell me he wants me
it was in a dream.
To be president.
It was in a dream.
Yes.
It was in a dream, Steve. I'm telling you, Steve Bannon, it was in a dream. And those have meaning. So, you know, right now, I think to figure all of that out, like why did the RNC lose so bad? How is it that racism, misogyny, and homophobia could be so unpopular with normal people? How is this possible? The RNC must have been thinking to themselves. Well, now they're putting together a very serious group of the most out-of-touch people to assess what went wrong with the midterm strategy. The RNC chair, the current chair, Ronna McDaniel, said this, quote, as we assess the midterms and plan for 2024, We are gathering a diverse range of respected leaders in our movement to join together and help chart a winning course in the years to come. I am thrilled that this talented group of Republicans will be shoulder to shoulder with us as we work to grow our party, hold Democrats accountable, and whatever, Republicans something, something. So all that to say is they've put together just this, the Avengers of Republican operatives. So that means Kellyanne Conway, former White House advisor, evangelical leader Tony Perkins, a black guy who's a Republican, who's just happens to be in office. So they're like, oh, yeah, you get him too. Get some of these other Latinx people we have from like Texas. Get a couple of them. And let's get Blake Masters, who absolutely has no business telling anybody what went wrong in 2024 when he is what went wrong in 2024.
So Blake Masters 2022. Was Peter Thiel's like dedicated lackey. Right. He was just like a Peter Thiel acolyte who Peter Thiel was like, well, I have so much power. I'm just going to run this guy who does everything I say, including function as a human blood bag for me. And he was just the most unlikable candidate that's ever been run. And he lost a super winnable seat in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be the one thing that everybody agrees on is that this guy's a fucking, you know, political toxin. But I love to see them not learning from their mistakes, you know?
I mean, it's like, they're like, man, how did this happen? Get the people responsible for this happening in here to figure out what they did wrong. Like, they that's whatever. Shout out to y'all for being rigid, like most, like, of party leaders in both parties who are just like, no, we know what we're doing. We're 80, okay? Please get out of our way. And right now, as it stands, others have been sniffing around, like Lee Zeldin, who ran for governor in New York. He was like, maybe I might actually run to be the chair of the RNC. But I think he got the message. Nobody wanted him. So he faded to the background, which makes sense because 100 out of the 168 voting members that decide who is going to run the DNC have already said they want Mitt Romney's niece to continue doing a bad job. So it looks like she is safe for now. She used to be Ronna Romney McDaniel, and then I think she was like, oh, the nepotism stuff kind of getting in the way, let me just be Ronna McDaniel. Like, you want to be Ronna Romney McDaniel on your way to somewhere and then get that nepotism name out of the way. But meanwhile, on Fox, they are continuing to lay the blame at the feet of women that won't get on board with chauvinist ideologies, because Jesse Waters, he said he's offering an olive branch to women to help move forward, because maybe that's what it was. Here's him with his take on what went absolutely wrong. Don't worry. This is him trying to figure out what's going on. He's about to ask a woman for his hand so he can be hand in hand with a woman as he gives this literal olive branch and everyone's rolling their eyes in the studio.
My hand.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
Women need men. And men need women. We need each other. And if you understand nature, you understand there is not a war between the sexes. We need to make love, not war.
Mm.
Oh. And you need to stop chopping your hair off and calling us toxic. We are on a mission. Yes, we peacock, but we peacock for your attention. So fall in love and let's all live happily ever after.
Okay.
Holy so shit. That's
the kind of shit going on, Fox.
First of all, for people who didn't aren't watching this, he makes his coworker hold his hand while instructing all women to make love to men.
And yeah, there was nothing olive branch about it, which was basically being like, quit cutting your hair and saying we're toxic.
Yeah.
Like, what the, that was really the distillation of what he said. And but that's about the most critical thought I think they're willing to give their own platform. I
hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I was just discussing with some some high school students, they already fucking know. They know, as young ladies, that every 11 minutes in this country, another woman is murdered by like their intimate partner. So it's so cool and great, you know, for people just to be like, oh yeah, we can just, you know, join hands and live happily ever after without actually, you know, being aware of the conditions that like we're really living under.
Right.
And then I think what's crazy is that statistic came out of a conversation about toxic masculinity. You know what I mean? Like, it's like these, and this is a conversation being had with like high school students, like they're like the fact that the Republican Party thinks like that there's this, you know, class of people who are just who just need to be deprogrammed from actual reality. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, that's why your fucking red wave was non-existent.
Yeah, seriously. And I think it just shows like they're just continued, like they just don't understand, like they cannot separate themselves from their policy and understand that that's it's repulsive to a majority of people at this point. Like what they stand for is like literally repulsive to a voter. And yeah, to I think it's like with anything, right? There's always this thing of like whenever a group is in power, they just like to say, come on, get over it, man. Shake my hand. Can't we just get along now? And I don't want to address the history or the actual context or the structures that will continue the issue. I just want you to say you'll stop complaining about it.
Yeah.
And that was about as most that it's not about, yeah, let me address rape culture or, you know, chauvinism in this country and X, Y, and Z. Because there was no reckoning from it was so that was why it's so like such a clear, like chauvinistic thing where it's like, I will be fixed as a man. Y'all need to stop cutting your hair and calling me toxic. Now, can we get along?
Offered zero changes on his part. He was just like, hey, look, we're peacocks here, but
yeah,
you need us. So stop being mad at me.
Motherfucker, they don't.
Yeah,
and
it turns out
that's
they don't.
It's not going to work. And you're only going to continue to look around and be like, where the fuck are people going? Which I think shows, again, why you have people like Nick Fuentes who see the writing on the wall and they're like, there's no way you can win with a policy like this unless it's just forcing people to live under this kind of society. That's it.
Right.
Because the momentum is getting away from us at this point. And now they're not playing politics. They're just basically saying, how can we corner motherfuckers with our ideology? That's it. They're not interested in winning anything. It's just now it's a game of how can we set up legal legislative structures that will just enshrine all of this shit into law or make it the norm. So then we win that game now. And y'all can just suffer under that.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that they only have a 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court. So.
Woo! Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right. Let's take a quick break and let's talk about something. Let's talk water and ketchup. We'll come back and talk water and ketchup. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And so there's an article in The Takeout that... The Takeout is a fast food blog that is the most cited source on our blog.
All food, yeah.
Most cited source on our show.
Yeah.
But they're making the claim that Hunt's is actually a superior, more adult ketchup because it's not as sweet.
And oh, we're going there with it.
Yeah. So they're basically saying that as we age, we lose our taste for sweetness. And so if you were like a completely objective adult doing a taste test, you would actually prefer Hunt's. But because of brand loyalty and because the time when we're actually eating our most ketchup is in childhood, that's when Heinz kind of wins you over. So I don't know. I'm just curious to hear you guys' experiences with ketchup.
I'm not. I will say I'm loyal. I'm definitely a loyal person. So I definitely get the brand loyalty thing. Like, without even considering it, I'm like, get that Hunt's nonsense away from me. But I like to think I can be objective. So I do have some Hunt's ketchup in front of me that I will test in a second. But that's where I'm at. Oya, what about you? What are your ketchup allegiances at? Where are you at?
You know, what's funny is when I was like in middle school, whenever I would complain to my dad that I was hungry, and usually it was my brothers and sisters, all of us complaining, he would be like, you better drink a tall glass of water and, you know, eat some packs of ketchup. And those packs were always Heinz. So, I mean, I can't even remember a pack of Hunt's ketchup.
Yeah, I know. So. Feels like disrespect.
I feel like Heinz had the market cornered for a long time. And now you're starting to see more, like, I think because Heinz is associated with just, you know, broad mass market. There's a lot of people testing the waters with their like Whole Foods 365 brand ketchup and like organic ketchup and shit like that. I've not found any of those to be as good. And it is a source of some discussion in our household because I'm like, we should just give the kids Heinz, right? But
yeah,
like as opposed to the one with no preservatives that tastes bad.
That's the stuff that makes a child be small. Right. You grow tall because of all the preservatives exactly. And shit as a kid. That's my thought on it. I'm like, man, look at all those kids who couldn't have McDonald's with your short asses. No, yeah. I'm joking. But Hunt's, I have a packet right here. I'm okay. Just going to taste a little Hunt's.
You're going to just take a packet to the dome the way ketchup was intended to be consumed.
With a tall glass of water. You know,
tall glass of water.
You see, I'm telling you, He knew something.
Yeah.
That was a palate cleanser. Okay, shut up. I'm gonna go. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Hunt's ketchup.
Hunt's ketchup to the dome. We should say that Miles, before he dug into this packet of Hunt's, he also had another packet that was puffed up. It was so
old. Yeah, that shit was. Yeah, there was a lot of gas building up. You know, I'm not mad at Hunt's, actually.
Okay.
But yeah. Now. Okay, I got some Heinz, too.
So the other thing about taste tests is that
they don't make for good podcast segments.
You shouldn't do them on podcasts.
As you hear me rifle through my loose bag of condiments, I'm like, oh, that's another puffy packet. Well, I already know how Heinz tastes because last night I ate the standard, my favorite food in America, which is grocery store potato wedges.
Mm.
And I had that with ketchup. I can say instantly I taste Hunt's and I'm like, it's not sweet.
It's not as sweet. Yeah.
And I don't know if I would necessarily appreciate that more. I mean, like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh my God, what have I been doing?
Yeah, right. No, it's you got to be careful with that ketchup taste and, you know, removing too much of the sweetness because it's like you'll just be left with this like kind of rust taste, this like copper tinny like. Yeah,
cheap ketchup can get like that too, or like other ketchups. The when it's not sweet, you're like, what? It's got a weird not ketchup feeling to me.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Maybe has Heinz just shifted the goalpost so much that in our minds, like, it has redefined even what the flavor of ketchup is to someone. Because I think that's the biggest thing. It's not that I'm like, oh my God, Hunt's tastes like shit. But I'm more like, yeah, it's less sweet. But also in my mind, that's not what ketchup is.
What Heinz has done is pretty remarkable because, like, when you look at the mustard space, there's, you know, 1,000 different types of mustard, like, that you kind of, like, have to have all the different types of mustard. Like, you don't, because each one is different. And, like, to just completely corner a product and be like, yeah, that's really the only one that people recognize, like, kind of across the board as the best in brand.
Yeah.
We're also just doing some research because I had a possibly false memory that McDonald's had Heinz ketchup recently. Could be that I was remembering
and
something.
Shazam Happy Meals.
Yeah, and those Shazam Happy Meals. But it was they stopped serving Heinz in 2013 and now serve McDonald's fancy ketchup, which I didn't notice. So
I didn't know that they'd stopped because the new CEO of Heinz like left his position as the worldwide CEO of Burger King to take over Heinz, and McDonald's was like, nah, we're not fucking with them anymore.
Yeah.
So like, dumb. Oh, you went from Burger King to Heinz? Guess who doesn't want Heinz anymore? Us. Which is so wild. They said it was, quote, the primary reason for ending the partnership was a, quote, recent management change at Heinz.
Mm. All right. So, well, yeah. So nothing definitive, but maybe give Hunt's a second look if you're like me and have just been, you know, dismissing Hunt's out of hand.
I'll say this: if you need to be worried about your sugar intake, sure, I get, you know, that's definitely a healthier option. But for me, I don't think it's that, like, my palate is more mature age. It's just that. Well, I think it's just more cynical than that. Just Heinz has completely shifted the goalposts in people's like mouths for like what ketchup is, and it's just sorry, it is what it is now.
Yeah. Also, Heinz has a organic brand. I mean, it has an organic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It has an organic one. Heinz. And it has and it has one without sugar. You know, so yeah, no brand loyalty.
Yeah. Keep enjoying.
Stay loyal.
Also, they're all probably bad for you. So I would.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, don't worry.
I'm pretty sure it's sweetened with high fructose corn syrup.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Really enjoyed talking to you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You could find me at survivorsheal.com, and there all my social media is linked.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about your podcast, too.
Yeah, so my podcast is really a compilation of the stories and practices and tools and resources that come from my work, my life's work, because, you know, it's like 15 years in doing work to support survivors of crime, but also doing adjacent work in advocacy and organizing at the grassroots level. So,
That's so cool.
And yeah, I get to talk with a lot of people who are really close to me. And then I get to talk with a lot of people who have been in the field themselves, just, you know, looking to interrupt violence and also like just be solutions oriented, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's like the biggest thing we're missing from our conversations? Because I think most of the way we usually consume stories about crime is like, and then someone is arrested, case, and that's done. And
yeah.
There's no where
you talk about
like,
true crime on your show too.
Yeah.
As being like a thing that people are obsessed with, but maybe a lot of it is because so many Americans are victims of crime or no victims of crime, right?
Absolutely. And I think that what is missing from the conversation is that we don't focus on like what happens to the survivors after the crime. Like we don't focus on the healing part of what happens after crime. And you see that just now in that whole thing with Netflix and the Dahmer situation, where like the victims and the survivors of that were not even like compensated or contacted, or you know,
right?
And I think that not having a conversation about what it takes to heal from all of these tragedies that we've grown accustomed to is it's a part of the reason why we continue, you know, just to see it all sensationalized. I think that we need to have more conversations about what it will take for us as a culture to really shift our imaginations into, and not just our imagination, but our practices, which is really important, and our policies, you know, to supporting people in taking more control of their healing journeys, you know?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, yeah, it's like a huge flaw just in general, like you say, culturally, especially in America, like the idea, no one wants to struggle publicly. No one will acknowledge they're struggling. And like the bigger part of that is like healing is such a huge part that's missing, because I think so much of the American ethos is like strong. You get through it. Don't worry about it. You pick yourself back up. But meanwhile, in the background, whatever transgressions you've been through or experienced, those linger without actually being addressed and fester into other ideas or other problems or continue similar cycles of violence or lies or whatever. And yeah, like I think it really is powerful to just to have a show that's about saying like, this is the importance of actually acknowledging our humanity and how important the concept of healing is, because we're not anchoring a lot of those conversations. So I think it's really fantastic like work that you're doing. And I hope everybody who's listening to this will definitely check out the show as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
A damn thanks.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh man.
I know it's hard. Listen,
no, there's YouTube. There's like these shorts, like another satisfying racial moment. Like those ones get me every day. Like just random bits of life where, you know, folks are, you know, just displaying their understanding of what it is to be a person of color in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're really hilarious. Like one I saw yesterday, it's like a lady was just minding her business, like doing her job, working, you know, making a sandwich, and some guy comes along and is like, "Do you serve crackers?" She smirks. Like, we serve everybody here. It's terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible. But, I've been amused.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? And what is the tweet you've been enjoying?
Hey, if they got at symbols, type in Miles of Gray after. Chances are I'm there. You can also find me and Jack on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, the number 100% top-rated NBA podcast with comedy in it, hosted by men named Miles or Jack, mm-hmm. hailing from the San Fernando Valley area, or Wheeling, West Virginia, Dayton, Ohio, Massachusetts, or other places. And also find me on 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé. Some tweets that I like. First one's from Mike Drucker, at Mike Drucker, saying, I feel like we're close to cracking the mystery of whether the man who grew up wealthy from apartheid might be racist. I think we might be getting there. Then another one, at Ryder Toast, tweeted, a man and his son are in a car accident. The man is killed instantly. His son is rushed to the hospital. The surgeon says, I can't operate on this patient. He is my son. The car then crashes through the wall of the operating room, killing everyone. How is this possible? The answer, Tesla.
Nice.
Spin on that old riddle. Yeah.
That's wild. It's truly wild. Like, that was a riddle that people were like, I don't know, man. Like, how is it
a lady?
A lady doctor? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Is really
a sign of the times.
In some ways, we've come a long way. You know what I was just thinking about that is kind of unrelated, but like kind of related, is like that less than a generation ago, people were like, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. If you just make yummy food for them, they'll fall in love with you. It's like such a wild thing that I think like even my dad's that generation
men,
that, was like.
Yeah, or like men perpetuating those just, through to the media.
Just so
like,
helpless. Just, she give me food. Anyways.
Hey, this character I'm writing dialogue for is my dream woman, and she's going to tell other women that the way to a man's heart is through feeding him a ton of food that he likes. Yeah, and enter.
Let's see. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Hot Pink Furby tweeted, Twizzlers fulfill my primal urge to chew on electrical wires. Jeremy Parrish probably tweeted, out of nowhere, my nephew just asked, do you think Pavlov thought about feeding his dog every time he heard a bell ring? And now I'm going to be haunted by this question. That might have been a conversation that happened after the walk at Thanksgiving, you know?
Whoa.
And then Hannah Lynn tweeted, brain so rotted, I can't read, quote, it's Giving Tuesday the normal way. Which when I saw that trending on Twitter, I was like, it's Giving Tuesday. Like, it's Serving Tuesday. it's giving real Tuesday vibes instead of
shout
the
out
way
Hannah.
God intended. So anyway, shout out to Hannah Lynn. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. And a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. You know, I was just some more drum and bass I was listening to the other day. It was getting me so motivated. This one is called Out of My Head, featuring Cherry Aid, Cherryade, and it's by the groom, maybe DJ, 1991. But man, this was just some, you know, exercise drum and bass music, or if you want to power walk or some shit to this, throw this on your headphones and get your heart rate up.
Now, when you're picturing power walking, are you picturing the loose hip wiggle that like the real speed walkers do?
Yeah. You got to.
Okay, good. Because that's I like some music that makes me do that.
Only way you could do it almost looks like you like doing a like a salsa or something. Like if you just saw the shoulders, you'd be like, oh, is that a salsero? No, yeah. I'm listening to drum and bass and I'm getting my steps in.
That's my favorite. The coolest looking sport, if anybody hasn't seen speedwalkers in action. Love the honey in their hips.
I remember the first time I saw it on TV, I thought it was a fucking joke. I think it was in the Olympics
really
in 1992.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom, I used to do that shit all the time, piss my mom off. She's like, stop fucking around. And I'm like, what are you doing? I would be like, how fast do you think I could go? How fast do you think I could go before I run?
Oh,
shout out to speedwalking.
All right. Well, go listen to that song and do a little speedwalking around your neighborhood. Yeah. Get the hips waggling. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.